Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Today we're talking to Dr. Elsa Springola, who is a nuclear medicine specialist and has worked in both government as well as private practice, and incidentally opened 8 practices in South Africa in nuclear medicine since 1992 across 2 provinces in South Africa, Gauteng and Northwest. Additionally, she has served on the South African Society of Nuclear Medicine for the past 8 years and was a former president of the society between 2010 to 2012. Today we're having our discussion in the Sandton Mediclinic in Johannesburg. Welcome, Dr. Springola.
Hello to everybody.
You are originally from Argentina.
Correct. I was born in Argentina and I did my medical degree in Argentina. And then I came to South Africa as a tourist in 1978, and I came to stay for good in December 1980.
Can you tell us a bit about your journey in that time? Argentina, predominantly Spanish, you coming across to a foreign country, having to go and undertake different studies and do a transition between Spanish to English.
Well, towards that subject, the only adaptation that I needed to do to my qualification at that time was complete the internship of 1 year, which was required then to 6 months in medicine and 6 months in surgery. Despite that, I didn't have to do any examinations, and only later I had to do one legal exam. But besides that, I was quite comfortable, we can say, except for the internship that I didn't know what it was, and it was a huge, huge, huge walk in my career. But I did it, and yeah, now a history, but that history is what partly made me who I am today.
Can you take us through some of the challenges you experienced?
Oh, the challenges were...
Particularly as a woman coming into the environment.
The challenges were very big, primarily because I went into a hospital where most of my colleagues were gold coins, and it was the cream of a cream at that time, the Johannesburg Hospital. I couldn't speak English or very poorly. I didn't really have experience like the South African students have here. I mean, we used to have in anatomy one cadaver or piece of cadaver for 300, 400 students, where here they have one cadaver per student.
That is a tremendous difference.
Yes, no, my practical experience was very limited. So, yes, and I started. And I started the first day of work as being on first call. So I didn't even know what a call was. It was very hard. My self-esteem, my responsibility, my everything, it was challenged. I always describe a period that I did cry, but I didn't cry water. My tears were of blood. But I made it thanks to, at that time, the assistance of my husband and one registrar who told me, don't give up, and I will never give up, and he helped me.
My understanding, when you came into the environment and into South Africa, there were certain barriers which were put in place in terms of delays on being able to access different environments and different hospitals, because, as you mentioned, we had the gold coins, who were the very privileged who had undertaken to study medicine, so places were reserved for them, and you were coming in as a total outsider.
They didn't want me. They didn't really want me, and even some one professor blocked me totally. But that didn't stop me, because I went to another professor and to another hospital, and he welcomed me. Professor Seftel, he welcomed me so dearly, and when I went to that Hillbrow Hospital, which it was the most wonderful place to work, my life totally changed, because number one, I became like my other colleagues. We needed a translator because none of my colleagues could speak the African language.
So in terms of the Hillbrow Hospital in those days, it sounded as though it was a very cosmopolitan environment. You had people from all over the continent, and there would have been a really rich cultural diversity, multiple different languages.
Yes, it was, and everybody was accepted as they were, as they could speak. So you were no less or more because your accent was different. The level of medicine was extremely high. The attention to our patients was extraordinary, even if they slept on the floor, because there was not much space. I don't even think in a private practice now, the clinics can supersede that kind of treatment. Unfortunately, that hospital closed down. But it was fabulous to work there, to be in contact with all those doctors from all over the world, from all different races and cultures. So then I became integrated totally with medicine in South Africa.
And in that experience, I think one of the most important parts was that there was a leveling effect because you had interpreters. So it helped mitigate the problem of English as being a second language for you, and it equalized everybody.
Totally, and I even learned some words in Zulu, and I even had fun with my patients when we were discussing and translating and laughing. That was fascinating. It was a wonderful time and a reward from the previous 6 months. And thereafter, I never look back.
So the tears of blood were worth it?
Oh, absolutely. Don't know if I could do it again, but I did it.
Moving on, you then specialized, you were in radiology and moved across to nuclear medicine.
Yes, I did, because I found that the specialty, although we were not a specialty at that time, it was more dynamic. And I liked it, the department. They were normal human beings. They treated you like normal human beings. And in the end, it favored me, because when it became a specialty, I was perhaps the fourth one, I don't know exactly, or the fifth one, or the third one even, a specialist in the country.
That's highly significant. And as I recalled in our conversation earlier, that the first top five graduates in nuclear medicine were actually women.
Correct. And in the end, that it helped me to have opportunities in private practice.
And you moved from government across to the private practice?
Yes, I moved into private practice due to personal circumstances at that time. And I was the first one to really open my private practice at the Santon Oncology Center. So it was quite an adventurous situation. And talking about that, when you set up a practice, you need to buy a machine. A machine costs money. At the moment, probably it's 2 million. Maybe at that time was 1 million. I had nothing, nothing. At that time, I needed an overdraft of 50,000 rands. Nobody will give it to me.
And was that, did you feel that from a discrimination point of view on being a woman? In conversations that I've had with South African women in construction and women in transport, they were saying to me that they could qualify, they could achieve, secure their targets. And that was one component. But then, in terms of being able to fund the projects, that became an entirely different scenario on being able to access resources.
I don't know if it was discrimination on the part of my, that I'm a female. I think it was discrimination to the part that I had nothing.
So you had no capital, no equity
nothing,
to leverage?
Nothing that I could bank and say, okay, I can do this, I can do that. And I went from bank to bank, knocking the managers. I will never forget that. I probably went to 7 banks until I hit one bank, and the manager told me, I have to believe in you, you are a professional. Do me a life, we do a little life cover. I said, it's fine. And I got it. You know what is to knock in 7 different banks, and they tell you no, 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 no.
You have extraordinary tenacity and perseverance. We will be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka Chaka, and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. And we're talking about women in the medical profession with Dr. Elsa Springola. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. But thank you for sharing your personal story in terms of how you came into the country as a young immigrant, developed yourself, stood up to the adversity that you faced independently. In our next segment of discussion, I'd like to talk about the fact South Africa is a relatively young democracy, and you've gone through the entire period, the transition that we've experienced in the country. In the last 20 years or so, we've made significant gains, especially for women, and I look at Parliament as a clear example, whether it was in our first democratic election in 1994 and prior to that, there were only 3% representation of women in government. That was succeeded to 27% in 94, 30% in 99, 33% in 2004, and 45% in 2009. Have you witnessed any changes in terms of gender progression since that time when you enrolled as a student to what we're seeing today in society?
The difference that I noticed is I always saw females in medical school and then doing the housemanship. The problem was...
Housemanship.
It means to do the full qualification and then 1 or 2 years after. The difference is that then... they don't continue. Motherhood perhaps took the role and took them out of medicine.
So they're ending up with a gap in their career that they either
they don't do it anymore. So you used to have a lot of medical girls at medical school. They do 1 or 2 years and then they disappear. Now I notice it's changing. Now I go to meetings and you see lady surgeons, you see ladies everywhere. They continue. It's very difficult at times to have both roles, mother, doctor, wife, and all the other roles that we have to have. Some specialities much more than other ones.
Yes, and you, in your field of work, it seems incredibly demanding, concerning exactly that. So your role as a professional, your role as a wife, your role as a mother. What do you think the right formula is to manage it all?
You have to be a magician. Yeah, you have to be a magician. There is no other way. I have forgotten my children at school, that at 7 o'clock at night I realized we didn't have cells at that time. Where are my children? They're at school. Yes. And still they can tell me, Mom, you forgot us in the school. Yes, I did. They knew work came first. And they grew up with that, but it's very difficult. Maybe I didn't have the assistance that I needed, but for me, I consider myself, above all things, at that time, a magician.
And do you think that in terms of the role that you took and the way that you brought your children up and what they saw you doing as a woman, that has stood in their favor as they've grown up and chosen their career paths?
Yes, I respect them for who they are. I never say you must do medicine or so. None of the two do medicine. In fact, totally holistic people. They have the freedom to be who they are, like I have a freedom to be who I wanted. I wanted to be a doctor since I'm 5 years old. And I wanted to do something that allowed me to be a mother, a wife, a friend. I didn't want to be all work.
So you wanted a career which was all-encompassing, that allowed you to experience the multidimensionality
of life.
Of life, yes.
To express myself who I am. Because I'm a doctor, I'm a mother, I'm a lot of things. And I believe one word in my life that I always strive for is balance.
When I look at balance, I used to think of it as being a 50-50, but I no longer see it as being 50-50. It could be a 30% one day of one aspect in the work environment and a 20% in the family environment, it's a juggle.
Yes.
And something that I've been looking at more recently is that when you look at formal structures of workplaces, I call them man hours. And I mean that literally from a gender point of view. When you go in and you start at 9 o'clock in the morning, finish it at 5 o'clock. But the reality is that as a woman, I think that we should be looking at women's hours, so having this flexibility component. What are your thoughts?
Yes, flexibility in life is what I think also allow that flexibility in your mind and in your life, but it also will make you successful. Because one day you may have to be 20 hours and another day maybe is 2 hours. And it's not right and wrong. Try not to judge yourself. Try to just give the best without judging.
Do you find that because in the medical profession, quite often it's a lot of shift hours, do you find that in a way helps women to accommodate their day by working shifts?
When I work hard hours and long hours, I did not have children. But whatever your circumstance is, you need to adapt to that. But of course you need assistance. You can't just do it on your own.
So it's building that network of support structures which becomes enabling for you and enabling for your family and anyone else that's under your responsibility.
Totally. And I think we are lucky because we are in a country where domestic help is available. In Europe, doesn't happen that. You know, what do you do when your child is sick? Do you stop working if you don't have anyone to look after your child? Fortunately, here we can do something. The men don't stop going to work. It comes into our responsibility because we are the moms. They're already in a relationship. We always, of father and mother, the woman generally gives in much more.
As primary caregiver?
Totally. Men always go to work. I'm not a feminist. I believe in men and I believe in the role and I believe in the wonderful role and I don't want to be equal to them. I'm different.
We will be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. And we're talking about women in the medical profession with Dr. Elsa Springer. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, Dr. Spindler, I'd like to turn to your role within nuclear medicine. Specifically, you were the president of the society.
Yes, I've been involved in the society for about 8 years in different roles, and then you become vice president, then almost automatically then as a president. It was a nice experience. It's nice to work with other people in other angles. Me as a nuclear medicine, perhaps what I have inspired is to ladies, you can do it. You can do it. Although the circumstances, I repeat, were different. Maybe now the girls who wants to go to private practice, they may not have the same facilities as I had. But I did it. I'm open, circumstances came into my life and I never say no and I never been scared and I went. I was the first one to open further away from Gauteng, which require quite a still, and of course in Rustenburg, where it's all Afrikaans and I don't speak Afrikaans. All at that time was a male and I was a female. But I left my practice in Rustenburg and they love me. So, yes, don't be scared. Just go for it. Do it. Whatever you feel is right inside, you have to honor it and be truthful to yourself. That's how I can really summarize it. and maybe some girls see it, some not.
And in terms of women coming into the field, you've experienced, you've pioneered, you've motivated and inspired women. Do you think that there's more need for women to come into medicine?
Ooh, I don't know if I'm able to answer that question. I don't see it as there's more need for women than for men. I don't know where women stand. Do they really, women, have a need to be expressive in the medical field? And if they're so, what is the reason? Is that because they want to compete with men or because they have the desire to do so? Because for me, they're two different things. They want to compete with men, we are on the wrong track.
I think it's going back to what you said before, the challenges that you faced when you were coming in, that you were discriminated against, you were barred for almost 6 months of pursuing a career. Then you were informed by somebody else telling you that, no, he could only see you in 3 to 4 years' time. So they were almost dictating your career for you, although you had the capabilities, you had the skills, you had the motivation, you had the passion, but you were being blocked. So I'm looking at this from a point of transformation in society and specifically within the medical sector, as opposed to I want to compete against a man for the sake of competing.
But it's very different then and now. I think if you go now to the medical school, you probably will have the percentage. What is the percentage of males against females?
Well, what I've got in terms of registered doctors, which I found interesting, was it was biased towards male of 70% and 30% women. But then I reflected on what you'd said about women coming in and not necessarily continuing it.
Yes. You see, probably when you walk in varsity, I don't think you will find 70 to 30% female. I think you will find more kind of equal. The problem is after. And I think it's a problem that exists still today. Because it's not easy. Although there is also fallacy. Previously, medicine was done by people who come from family of financial means, and then they went into private practice, lot of financial rewards. Now the things are very different. I come from a university where university was free, so I didn't pay for my studies. So it didn't matter if my father had 1 rand or 10 million rand, we could still go to varsity and qualified. So that's my background.
It's very different environment.
Totally different
world. Empowering for people to say, you can be whoever you want to be.
Yes. But now here, it's more or less it's happening that, although still varsity is expensive, if you really compare, I think it's even cheaper than a private high school fees.
Yes, that is an interesting, I think, paradox in terms of how education in a way becomes cheaper as
yes.
you move
yes.
through
so
to tertiary.
Now everybody has more access to go to university, and when you work and then maybe you go to private practice, you don't become financially rewarded from the scar like you used to. First of all, because there's many more doctors, there's more much competition, we are more subject to what we can charge, where before people could charge anything. So it's not like that anymore. And some females say, well, is it worthwhile all the effort that I have to put in and expenses to support my home when against what I earn? It's a balance. But most of couples now, they both need to work. On the other hand, where before, the male usually used to provide, be the provider. Another thing that has changed before, you are a doctor. It was like if you are God.
A prestige.
A prestige, and people will almost sweep your floor while you're walking. Please. Now it's normal. Okay, we are doctors, so what? Let's continue talking about the weather. It doesn't make us different. So that assists, in the other hand, to people in turn be more
approachable.
Familiar and approachable and study something that it can be daily wonderful work. Where before was up there.
There were different motivations.
People, the patients have changed also. I will remember in the beginning in 1983, a patient will wake up with a cut from the sternum to the pubis, huge like that, and he didn't know why. He didn't know what they'd done to him. Now the public is empowered by knowledge. They wanted to know. They come and they consult with you, and they know. And you sharpen that knowledge, but much less people, much more people are aware of what they are going to do and why. So everything has changed. It's becoming more natural, more the way it's supposed to be. It's no one is God here. Before was a God play role. So I think that also helps the youngsters to go into medicine. Perhaps the females, some that they are shy. We've got a lot of females who are very shy.
Yes, that's one area which I found interesting on a point of view of low assertiveness, less self-confidence, and those are skills which obviously need to be improved upon for women to become more comfortable in what they're doing.
I never knew that I could do what I did until the moment came. I was tested and I responded. And I think everybody has that capability. It's also a lot of cultural issues, perhaps religion issues, and how you were educated that will allow you to express the freedom of go for it instead of going to a corner. A lot of things probably influence. For me, the best thing I ever done in my life, now looking back, is that I left my country. I don't think in my country, my birth country, I would have been able to do it, what I achieved here. Because here I was test to the maximum. And I love Africa, totally love Africa. I mean, white African American, because I totally love it. But I'm a Latin, and that will never stop. And it reflects how I work, how I talk, how I move, how I laugh, how I drive.
Yes, the Latins are well renowned for their passion and their characteristics. We will be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. And we're talking about women in the medical profession with Dr. Elsa Springola. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, picking up on our discussion, the last two areas that I wanted to talk to you about concern gender equality. It's become increasingly a global focus, and South Africa have recently put through their Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill, which is currently in the National Assembly, and its principal aim is about to achieve equality and equity and to empower women so that we have a more level playing field in terms of decision-making capacity and having 50-50 representation of women and men in respective positions. And I wondered from your perspective how you, if you're seeing those changes happening in the medical space, or how you think that legislation like this will help women further.
I don't believe that anything should be by legislation, but by forcing. But I do believe the changes are happening, for sure, in all spectrums of our society, not only South Africa, but around the world. And I think women are taking the space and the place that they will they wanted to be. Again, not as a competition, because we all bring into the picture different things. And it's a wonderful balance to have the male input and the female input, because definitely they are different. What else can be done? I don't think you can force situations by legislation. In other words, you have employee A and employee B, and you take employee A because it's a female against the male. You have to take it all in a bigger picture. And sometimes it's maybe not easy to recognize what each person can deliver, because actually they may not know them themselves. So it's very tricky.
In an ideal world, I think we'd all want to go through on a meritocracy, on the values that people bring into their respective fields, and to do away with items like gender or items as racial discrimination. But I think in reality, for us to help achieve a level status of equality, that legislation is necessary.
Perhaps in the beginning, because we need few generations to be able to come into a more stable situation. But as I said to you, I'm not politically correct, so legislation goes against what I do. But I do not, for example, look at my people, they are females or males, or I just go for what I feel. However, I must tell you that we do have something against us, and that's the maternity. Maternity is in a way against us, because we fall pregnant, we fall sick when we are pregnant, we got into delivery, we take maternity leave, when the child is sick, we stay at home. All those issues, I guess, are slightly, and in some companies, more than slightly, against us. Because we do not have a crèche in a work environment where we can bring our sick children. It's not provided for us. So do some females don't get accepted because of that?
And there's also the challenge of re-entering the workforce post-maternity, unless you've got your own practice, unless you have provisioned for coming back to work after maternity. If you decide to take a gap out of your career to look after your children, then there is an issue of re-entry.
Well, I must tell you, at this stage, when I got pregnant from my first child, I was doing my Master of Vets in nuclear medicine. Was not a problem. Then I was told you cannot fall pregnant again. If you fall pregnant, you have to come out of your registered time. So I have to wait 3.5 years until I have my second child. So I did my final in September, being 7 months pregnant. And my colleague did it a month before me, so our children were exactly the same gap, because we were not allowed to fall pregnant.
Wow, I'm almost speechless.
No, but those are the things that happen, because if we were fall pregnant, we work with radioactivity, we couldn't do our job properly. So who's going to do the job for us? Someone else. They don't want to do the job for us because we fall pregnant. So at that time, if they have to choose a female or a male, they will choose a male because it doesn't have those problems. So we do have a little bit against us because of this maternity.
Our biological functions and our family life.
It's a fact. How do we respond to that? Do we get bitter? Do we get angry? Do we protest? Companies in the corporate world, they should provide a crèche for moms to bring children. And another isolation for the colds and the flus and all that all the kids always have. Do they?
There are very, very few.
So you see, you talk about legislation. Okay, let's employ females. But then, what are we doing?
We need to have appropriate support structures in place.
Exactly. Exactly. Because just to employ females and then half of the females have to go because the children are sick. It doesn't work like that. Then we give a bad name to our females.
It's having a holistic perspective of what the structures are, what the demands are, what the needs are, and being able to integrate them as opposed to just cherry-picking
much
nice
more
pieces.
Than just give a job to a female is the whole structure. And I think society is not fully ready yet for that. Number one, it costs money. Is the corporate world prepared to put that? You go to the corporate world, there's plenty ladies.
The other issue on corporate side, and I look at this in a way of possibly it's a compromise that has come through, is that women on average are paid 23% less than their male counterparts. So they're doing identical positions but being discriminated on gender. And sometimes I wonder if some of the contributing factors are items like we've just discussed now from a maternity point of view. If your child is ill, you are taking time off work. So I wonder if sometimes those are the dynamics and factors that come in.
I told you I'm not a feminist, and I love tennis. So I'm a tennis sport. Not fanatic, but I love it. You go and watch an Open now. The price given for males and females is exactly the same in the last years. But the men play the best of five. The lady play the best of three. Why? So we are fighting for to be equal at one level, but we are not equal at the other level. So let's be realistic. Let's be fair. Why must your salary or price be the same when the men play the best of five for maybe 5 or 6 hours and the ladies the best of three? Just because of gender equality. But then do it all. It has to be all, and it's not.
And I think we need to put an application to the tennis committee.
No, then I will be bombarded. But I think that also applies in other aspects of life.
But I see this in aspects of life and in corporate where you're doing the same work. So same work, in my point of view, you've got the same contribution. And in my perspective, you should have the same pay. You shouldn't be discriminated on gender.
Correctly. And if you take off, then it's take off. Pay off.
Absolutely.
They should have the facility to have unpaid leave.
Yes.
Perhaps the females should have unpaid leave and not the males. You know, I don't know. It's difficult, but we do carry extra responsibilities, daily responsibilities.
I think those are all solutions that we'll look to in the future.
Well, I hope, I wish luck to every female. You see, I am already almost, not on retirement, but now enjoying my granddaughter and watching tennis and working and doing what I, now I'm in a different time of life and enjoy learning and growing, because we're still growing as a human beings.
Yes, I believe in lifelong learning. In closing, Dr. Springlow, could you share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to other women listening to us on the continent?
Yes, go for it. Be truthful. Find out what is inside you that you really want and you really want to do. Don't accept any obstacles, but mainly don't accept your own obstacles. Fight for them. Continue. Don't give up. Your tears will be there more than once and very heavy sometimes. Continue. At the end, is you make your own road and you decide who is on that road and how that road is. Yes, there will be sometimes adversities, but you can come out. Don't get stuck on those adversities. Take one day at a time, but don't stop looking where you're going. And good luck, because we also need luck. But we attract luck. So always think positive. I do believe very much. If you think negative, you will attract negative. Think positive. Be happy. Be truthful. And enjoy life.
Thank you very much, Dr. Springlow, for those inspiring words of persistence and perseverance. You've demonstrated your path and I think that your words will add tremendous value to other women.
Well, it's a pleasure, and Dr. Maleja Goneos Malka, it was a pleasure to meet you. I think I pronounced it correctly. I told you I'm not politically correct, but it was very nice to meet you. And whoever hears this, well, maybe impacts, maybe a little seed grows, but whatever seed we put on the ground, if we fertilize it, it will definitely grow.
You have been listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band.